Today we're going to speak about learning to lead the heart. And this is such an important thing for us today to understand. It's a very important message to take into perspective. And when you look at today's society, we as a people, we have all different types of ideas of what the heart is. You know, what is the heart, right? At Valentine's Day, the heart is a little card. It's chocolates. It's, you know, there's all different kinds of idioms. There's weird things to think about, you know, a bleeding heart, or he has a heart of gold, or, you know, she has a heart of stone. She's tough as nails. You can't get through her. A glass heart, and they're soft, you know. Faint of heart. And then there's circumstances of people where they talk about having a change of heart. Oh, he had a change of heart, you know. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And then people say things like, from the bottom of my heart, you know. Well, that automatically we already accept the fact that that's very important, you know, right? It comes from the very bottom of my heart. But what is it? What is my heart? My heart's an organ. I can't give you the very bottom of my heart. That'd be the last thing I could ever give you, right? From the bottom of my heart, that'd be the final gift. Second. Amen. Second to the last.
Your brain.
Right? Okay. All right. But what is the heart? You know, where does this come from? And how do we lead it? And why do we listen to it? Why do we write songs about it? You know, they write songs about, listen to your heart, you know? And everybody's like, yeah, that sounds right. I need to listen to my heart, you know? I got to find out, you know, what am I telling myself, you know? But biblically, I'm not sure. We're going to have to look more closely at that. See, Proverbs 27:19 says, the heart of the man reflects the man. The heart of the man reflects the man, right? But see, since the ancient society, your heart is the most important part of who you are. And it's due to the actual fact that it is the organ that pumps the life-giving blood to each organ and part of your body. It's the central location of all of, you know, all of what we have physically. So they turn that into the reason of the heart being used for centuries as a place for all of our thoughts, our beliefs, our values, our motives, our convictions. It's our headquarters, right? And as a result, every area of our life is impacted by the direction of our heart. So what we do, we follow it, we listen to it, you know, we're encouraged by it, we go after it, you know, it's our heart, it's telling us what to do. But see, Proverbs 23:7 says, a person thinks in his heart, so is he. A person thinks in his heart, so is he, right? So if I spin this into reality and I continue to tell myself that I'm not going to succeed, that I don't have what it takes, that I don't have the gifts that they have or the blessings that they have, and I keep staring at the Joneses and I get off track and I'm not good enough, I'm not good looking enough, I'm not young enough, I'm not, you know, whatever, what am I not? You know, what do I tell myself every single day that I'm not good enough for? And the Bible says, a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So let me tell you this, no matter who I am or what I am, if I start to begin to think that I'm hardcore every day, guess what? You're going to run into me someday. What am I going to be? I'm going to be hardcore, right? I'm going to do something crazy. And then I'm going to get to prison and realize that I'm really soft, right? I'm not quite as hardcore as I thought I was, right? I was hard right then. Right then I was hard because I thought, and then the Bible says, so I was. I was hardcore. I believed it. So I got to be careful. You know, what's my heart telling me today? Who am I? What am I? You know, what am I telling myself? Am I telling myself I can't make it? Am I telling myself that I'm defeated by addiction? That I'm defeated by lost choices or failed opportunities? How many guys in here that are absolutely successful today failed in other opportunities in their lives previous to that? Right? What's the Bible say about that? He says, seven times a righteous man falls down. How many times does he get up? Seven. It's seven. Because you can't get up eight times. You only fell down seven. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But the point of the matter is, no matter how many times we're going to fall down, we always get back up, right? Seven times a man falls down, seven times he gets up. That means no matter how many times I'm defeated, I get up. He says, due to the actual heart that is the center of the body that pumps life-giving blood to every cell, Hence is the reason being for all the centuries stating the place of our thoughts, beliefs, values, motives, and convictions. And we got to start thinking about this. We're going to think about this. The heart of the man reflects the man. You know, so here is the key for introspection, really. When I wake up in the morning, what am I telling myself? What are the thoughts that I'm hearing? You know, what's going on in my life? What am I allowing to reflect me? What's coming out of my heart? We're going to talk more about that in a second. But what's wrong with following our hearts? In Proverbs 28:26, it says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." And it says, "Follow your heart is a foolish worldly wisdom," implying that we should follow emotions instead of logic and counsel. Right? Because there's lots of times in our lives that we feel that we're doing the right thing. We're convicted that we're doing the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. But if we had stopped back and really put that in perspective and said, man, is this a wise decision for me? Right? I might not have chose to go that route. How many times do you feel, maybe if we took, you know, Jeff's specific example, he could step up and say, you're not going to treat me like this and be violent with somebody. And somebody else might say, well, yeah, that's justified. They did wrong and you taught them a lesson, right? You know, or the world says, I have to learn to love myself before I can love anybody else. How many times you heard that before? I have to know how to love me before I know how to love you, right? All right. That's correct, right? No, that's not correct. The Bible does not say learn to love yourself. The Bible says learn to love God and learn to love everyone else. And in through loving God first and foremost through everything else, then you can learn to love everyone else, right? Right? And then we begin to understand what true love is. But in a worldly wisdom, we think that we're doing right. It's this perfect circumstance where we believe that we're doing right, but God has the right answer. Amen? We got to start thinking about this. And he says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end of the way is death." There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end of the way is death. Why do you think that he puts these warnings in the scripture for us? Right? Why do you think that he puts this in there for us to think about? It's because many times if we begin to isolate ourselves over and over and over again, we become to be misguided. It says a man separates himself to seek his own desire. Right? So if I don't put myself around my congregation, or I don't put myself around you guys or my friends or whatever, then they can't correct me. So I can go to my house and be absolutely right about every single possible thing I do. And when I bump into you in the street, everything's perfect. Oh yeah, yep, the kids are great. You know, we're doing fine. Everything's great. And I just go back to my house for 3 weeks and hide from the rest of the world and continue to decline in my faith. And continue to what? Because why? Because there is a way which seems right to me, but the end of that way is death. Because I'm what? Void of counsel. I've separated myself. I can't listen to my heart. I can't follow my heart. It's because, you know, this foolish worldly wisdom implies that we follow our emotions instead of this logic. So the heart, emotions, feelings are unreliable. We have a tendency to be shallow, selfish. We change due to circumstances, and what seems to be very sweet to us right now can be very sour in time. Amen? Right? You ever get involved with something that was really great at first, and then all of a sudden, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 years, whatever, later on, you realize just how awful this scenario really is? Right? But it seemed right to me at the time. It was perfect, right? She was beautiful. She told me everything I wanted to know, right? She might have been a Corona. She might have been, you know, a duber. She might have been a beautiful diva. She might have been, you know, whatever it was. It was beautiful and it was the perfect idea. It was awesome at the time. And now no one even returns my phone calls. Or I can't get $7 for some noodle cups. You know what I mean? How did I get here like this? Jeremiah 17, he says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" So originally, our hearts are selfish and sinful. We don't have a lot of time to touch on that, but I want to talk about the robot. Anybody ever hear this term? Like if you take a robot out, it has a perfectly clean chip, and we're going to program it. We're going to tell it every single thing that we want it to do, right? We're going to tell it everything that we want it to do. But our robot began at birth. And our flesh began to program our robot, right? And our flesh told us that when people were not kind to us, we didn't like it. We like to eat, right? Who don't like to eat? One person in here don't like to eat, right? We like to eat whatever we want, whenever we want. We like to do things where we want. We begin to in today's day and age, we don't particularly care to work very often, but we want to be rewarded, right? Our flesh gets programmed. And then what about addictions? Like when we struggle with addictions, the robot only knows that it feels good. It doesn't know that it's right or wrong. It doesn't have yes or no or moral conduct. It only knows that it feels good. So what does the robot want to do? It wants to feel good because we programmed it that way, right? I programmed you to feel good every 3 hours, all the way down to the point of where I was programmed you to feel good every 7 minutes, right? Right? And then you couldn't feel good anymore. And then when you're telling me, I can't feel good anymore, it's impossible, right? I feel terrible because I programmed my robot in this way that it can only feel good if I administer this new application of the thing that I depend on that makes me feel better. Whether it's money or a girl or a drug or whatever it is. If I can't have that right now, I don't feel good. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Don't talk to me right now. I don't have what I need, right? And that's just it. It's simple. So reprogramming the robot, it says that it takes 3 days to form a habit and up to more than 3 weeks to break it. So it's going to be willpower, right? There has to be some willpower in reprogramming this scenario because it's programmed. Now, everything you put in, all the data you put in up until this point is permanently set, right? So now all we can do is, why does the Bible say, renewing their minds by the washing of the water of the Word? Renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the Word, what's he talking about? He's talking about like soap on a car, taking the grime off, is the Word in our lives and our soul removing that negative programming. Amen? Taking away all of that hunger and that need for negativity in our life and replacing it with something that where the side effect would be peace. That's a new idea, right? What if I was involved with something that only brought me peace? What if there was no hill at the end of the roller coaster? You know, what if I didn't have to go down to come up anymore? What would that life be like? Peace, Bruce? You see, it says the heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick, and who can understand it? You know, so unless genuinely transformed by God, our heart will always choose to do the wrong things. It's insanity in its best. It's the battle against the flesh. And Paul talks about this in Romans 7:14. He says, you know, the wretched man that I am. You know, why is it the man in my heart that wants to do good? Why am I witnessing myself knowing that I want to do good? Why do I witness myself do the things that I don't want to do? And that's that pre-programming of compensating to myself, to the flesh, to where I've told myself that, oh, you don't deserve, you don't have to work 13-hour days. You shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't have to do that, you know? My feelings are hurt, right? Because the world's soft. And we're not going to make up for that. God didn't put that out there. The world did, right? The world acclimated it to me to where I can get a trophy without trying. I don't have to stand up with integrity and hold a door open and make sure chivalry still exists, right? It's only me, 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 and I want it right now, and I want it now, and if I can't have it right now, then it's not good enough, period. But very little integrity is inside of that. So if we operate inside that system, then we're putting ourselves, you know, at risk, really. Because if I continue to compete with the Joneses to make every single possible thing as convenient as possible for me, then I'm not stepping outside my comfort zone to really earn anything in my life. I'm just expecting it, right? But what did David tell God? He said, God, bless the work of my hands. Yes, Lord, bless the work of my hands. Amen. Now, so should we ever follow our hearts then? Given that preface, would we ever really want to follow our hearts?
No.
No? Okay. Ecclesiastes says, a wise man's heart directs him to the right, but a foolish man's heart directs him to the left. Right? You guys get that? He said that a wise man's heart directs him to the right, to what's good, right? But he's joking. He says, you know, a fool, you know, directs himself to the left, which is obviously not right. Amen. He says, just as we are guided by sin, lust, and violence, we can also use our hearts in truth, kindness, and love. So there's a key to this. There's a true key to understanding, when is the Holy Spirit speaking to me in my heart and giving me encouragement and direction, opposed to my flesh, my desires, and my lusts trying to give me direction in my heart? Because I have to listen to myself. I'm the only one there. Very rarely do I ever get good responses from myself, right? Amen? We don't get along. I'm with me all day. I know that. In Psalm 37, he says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, not too long ago, Pastor Charles sat straight up. He was like, no, he won't, you know, because the context is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he's going to give you every single thing that you want. Amen. Right? Well, that is true. That is what the verse says. But what he means is I will replace your desires to give you holy desires and honest desires and good desires, and then I will fulfill them. Amen. You're no longer going to be hungry to get high tomorrow. You're going to be hungry to be positive in some way. Amen. To be functional in your family's life, in your children's life. You know, I know a lot of times, especially parents in here that have children, have been away from them, it's hard on you to be away from your family. But then when you get rekindled or placed back in your family and you're accountable according to the gospel of Christ that gave you the encouragement and the ability to do that and should be all the glory for that, that's an amazing thing. Amen. It's a different feeling. Why is that? Because the desire in your heart is not to run off at 9:30, 10:30 at night with your buddies. Your desire is to take your kids to go play putt-putt or play backyard soccer or whatever it may be. Cook out and chill, right? There's your desire, and your desire is being fulfilled. Why? Because you're active and participating in their life. You no longer desire to get high. You desire to succeed spiritually. Amen. By putting new thoughts, new dreams, new aspirations that he wants to fulfill in us begins a new authority, a new calling, a new skill, and new ability. Now we can talk about that. Exodus 35, 30 through 35, he's talking about a specific gentleman, and this is what he did. It said, first filled with the Holy Spirit, then wisdom, then understanding and knowledge, craftsmanship, skills and abilities, also put in his heart the ability to teach, filled with skill and purpose for good works. So God seen a need and then looked for a righteous man and put within him the ability to fulfill that need in the community, which fulfilled that man's need to be successful and gave him the skills, the encouragement, and the ability to carry it out. Do you think that God that did that for that gentleman can't do that for you today? Is that the kind of mentality that I'm walking around with? God's not going to intervene in my life. I'm 105 years old, it's too late. Or I'm 40 years old and it's too late. Or I'm 19 years old and it's too late for me. What are the thoughts that are going on? Right? Because if God can pick a gentleman who never did any carpentry whatsoever at all and make him a craftsman and bring him to the position at where he's needed and give him the ability and the knowledge and everything to carry it out, you can't tell me that he can't do that for you. Amen? Amen. But the difference is, what did he say down there? He said, you have to believe it. Right? He said, you have to believe it. Because if I don't believe it, I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to accept it. If I'm waking up defeated today, how can I accept a new purpose in my life? If I'm closed-minded to new opportunities because of the struggles that are facing me right now, how can I be open-minded to new tasks that God may have for me? What if the door is about to open, but I'm holding it shut with all I got? Right? He says, in Ephesians, together, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord is your spiritual sense of worship. David said in 51:10, after he created or committed a terrible sin, right? He went off and he did something just awful, more than, you know, about every bit as awful as we've ever felt for anything we've ever done. And what he prayed was, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So the question is, when should we follow our hearts? It's when we know that our heart is intent on serving and pleasing God, functioning in the authoritative love of servitude, you know? And that's a good portion. That's a good direction. That's a good thing that we need to add. But why is following our hearts not enough? Why would it not be enough? In Matthew 6, he says, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Bible doesn't tell us to follow our heart. The Bible tells us to lead it. Amen? The Bible doesn't tell us to follow our heart. The Bible tells us to lead it. Amen? And I'm here to tell you today that you have the ability and you have a powerful God that can give you the power to lead your heart today. Who's ready for a new direction? Who's ready for new outcomes? Who's ready to continue your consistency that you began already? Right? Who can build on where they're at right now? Has anybody retired completely in their faith? No. Does anybody? Right? Are we done now? We hung our hat up? Right? Who wants to build? Right? Who wants to build? I know I want to build. Do you want to build personally? Every one of you guys, yes or no? Yes or no? Because he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In 1 Kings 8, he says, let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord, to God, to walk in His statutes and keep His commandments. Psalms and Proverbs say, do not let your heart envy sinners. Listen and be wise. Direct your heart in the way. Give your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways, holy ways. So how am I programming myself? By what I'm putting myself into. Last week, what did we say? Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good judgment. Right? What am I exposing myself to? Where am I spending my time? Where is my downtime spent? Do I go home the second I get home and turn my TV on and watch the most controversial thing that I can find to laugh at? I'm guilty. I've done it, right? We've all done it. But is the majority of my time going there? Am I just wasting my time at home, you know, watching TV? Oh, I'll get up in a minute. I'll get around to it. Where am I spending my time? What am I doing? You know, because this is important, because I got to understand that if I'm going to reprogram myself, who has fallen seven times and gotten up seven times, I have got to begin to look in new directions for better outcomes. Amen. I have got to get myself, I have got to lead. How do I lead this heart? How am I going to lead this heart? I'm going to get in this Word, and I'm going to do what it tells me to do. And I know we're running over. I'm just going to share this one little message with you guys here real quick. In the Bible, he says, each one must do as he proposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, a lot of times we hear this verse in the idea of tithing and different things like that. But I want to talk about everything in this verse. How many times have you committed doing something for somebody, but then grumbled the entire time that you did it? You know, I find myself guilty of this, you know, at home, right? My wife wants me to do something. She's put it to the forefront of everything else that needs to get done. I've put it off for as long as I possibly can. And now I'm doing it and I'm stomping my feet and I'm doing it. And I'm stomping my feet and I'm doing it. But the Bible don't tell me to do that, right? Who's doing that then? My flesh, my angry man, my robot, who isn't taking into consideration my wife's needs at the time, or my friend's needs, or the community's needs, or whatever it is that I put before this in this situation, right? He says, each one must do as he proposed in his heart, right? So that means that I chose to do this. Why am I crying about it? Amen? If you put yourself in a situation that you're in today, quit crying about it. Amen? Because who chose to put you there? Who chose to put you there? So suck it up. And start doing something about it. Start looking in new directions. Start accepting that gift from God for that new avenue to lead the heart. Amen. You're not going to tell me where to go no more. Amen. If it don't jive with this scripture right here, it's not going to go for me. Period. If it's not in this book, I don't want it. Done. So I know right now, if my heart's leading me to do something and it corroborates with what God says, then amen, it's leading me to do it. But if my heart's leading me to do something and it's not in this Word, then I have to take that into consideration. I have to start to look at that, because then I'm going to continue to program myself to what? What does he say later on? He says, sow to reap. Sow to reap. What are you sowing today? What are you planting today? Because tomorrow you're going to plant. And then 6 weeks from now, 6 days from now, 6 years from now, you're going to reap what you planted. Amen? So today, I'm going to plant spiritual things in my life. I'm going to look for spiritual things in my life so that it can grow. So that I don't have to face all this negativity and failure anymore. I don't have to listen to myself, tell myself that I can't succeed. Because that's the devil telling me I can't succeed. Because God says, I love you. God says, I knew you in the womb. I formed you. I have a purpose for you. In Jeremiah, he said that. For you. Amen? And I can accept that conviction today and watch for that conviction today. Or I can continue to feed my flesh. And it's up to me, right? But he says here, the righteous man will never be shaken. We set our hearts to whatever it is, and if it's right by the Lord, we will succeed. Amen? Amen. All right, see you next week.